Hello, we are continuing the preparation for the World Kabbalah Congress in Kiev, and we are going to read about faith above reason and patience. Passage number 3 from Likutei Maharan. Item 48. One must be very stubborn in the work of the Creator, regardless of what he has to go through. Remember it well, since you will need it very much at the beginning of the work of the Creator. Because one needs to be very stubborn and very strong and very brave to stand guard even if he gets knocked down time and time again, and one must not allow himself to completely fall, God forbid, because all these falls and descents and confusions, it is necessary to go through them before entering the gate of Gedusha's sanctity, and all the truly righteous also went through this. And we know that one must go through a very narrow bridge, and most important is not to be afraid at all.
When we begin the work of the Creator, we are drawn to something that we can hold. Two kinds of external forms, and this is also what we install in society, that it's enough to behave a certain way, dress a certain way, live a certain way, etc. And it's clear that this is easy for people to follow and feel that they still belong to a special flow that's called, say, for example, religion. But the internal things that talk about internal phenomena that a person needs to do, his attitude, his feelings, his intellect, which is called the wisdom of the hidden. Why hidden? Because no one knows what happens inside of us. No one knows where I am with my thoughts and desires with respect to the Creator. If it's toward people, then it can somehow be discovered according to external manifestations. But if we're talking about work toward the Creator, toward the quality of bestowal, who can know this? No one. This is why it's called the wisdom of the hidden. And that's how all the work of the Creator is in the work of the hidden. The work toward the Creator, it's what a person exerts to come to sympathize with the Creator. Just make your will as his will, etc. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's all in order to come to love the Creator. You shall love the Lord your God, etc. So all these things are hidden within. The wisdom of the hidden is not revealed to anyone. Each one is dealing only, it's only between himself and the Creator. Even if it appears toward the friends in some superficial way, through connections, through concessions, when a person makes relinquishments on himself towards society, how much he appreciates the friends and wants to serve them in order, again, to get from the love of man to the love of God. But still, it's all very limited, superficial manifestation, and there's a limit to how much you can see it. But a beginner grips onto very external things, how much he learns, how much he feels, how much he understands. All of this is expressed in a very superficial way. You write things down in the notebook. You draw everything in the drawings. You try to create all kinds of dictionaries, questions and answers. I saw students creating these beautiful lists and taking beautiful notes. And then, after a few years, they begin to lose appreciation of it. It doesn't seem that important to them, and they move into more internal work. That whatever we write or don't write will not make a difference. It's like a person thinks that if I write something, if I do something, so it remains for the world, remains for people. Afterwards, he stops appreciating these things and goes deeper in, where everything is swallowed, and it's only because between himself and the Creator. So, a person who advances in the work of the Creator goes through all of these states, from the most external to the most internal form. And there are people who are the opposite. They come with a spark in the heart that brings them, and then it quenches, it switches off. And they want more and more external things instead of internal. And then they shift and go to other circles than those who deal only with the work of the Creator. So it all depends on a person's development, either toward internality or toward externality. Okay? Yes.
What does the measure of persistence depend on? Stubbornness?
The persistence or stubbornness depends on the importance. A person needs to understand that he is brought here, say, through the upper force, and is sustained here for a while. But afterwards, he has to start developing the tools to grip on to society and to advance together with society, so that even when he is pulled out from society by all kinds of obstacles and disturbances, deliberately so, then he gets stubborn on his way and grips onto it more and more tightly. Okay? No questions. I see everyone's quiet, you're sitting. Yes.
Like sometimes you feel hope and despair together, that you're expecting for something to happen.
What hope? What expectation?
That will reach the goal.
You are picturing a goal that is like, it's like it's distant, like there's a distance between you and the goal. So you have to walk a long way. And there are many examples here like that. That you have to walk, or that you have to go with carriage and horses, or you have to walk there by foot, etc. You don't understand that the way can be a tiny single leap. But I have to make that jump with a very powerful force, which I have to accumulate inside. And the way is entirely inside, from my externality to my internality. Inside of me is the palace of the Creator, and there I discover Him in me. Yes?
Still, all these passages that we read, they're the guards that you have to go.
They are inside of you. What do you think these guards are? It's all of your egoistic forces that don't let you be attached to the Creator and divert you in all kinds of directions, specifically so that you would grip on to the way even more, meaning go deeper and deeper inside.
And the force to do that, it's motivated by something, like some kind of a hope that tells you that, yes, with these friends, it is possible to do it, to accumulate the necessary strength,
yes,
and make the breakthrough. So the patience, it has to be above the hope, meaning even if I would be despaired of my own forces, I have to be patient beyond that.
It's as if you're asking this. How does the disturbance. How do the disturbance and the patience help me to attain the goal? The disturbance gives you the overview, the thickness of the degree. The patience, the stubbornness, gives you the zakut, like purity of the degree. So from those oshimot of ovyut and zakut, you determine your state.
No.
Yes?
Rav, there's this thing that when a person starts weakening or he finds himself in a certain state,
everyone all the time, it all depends on your situation. Only those who are passive have nothing.
Obviously, but
to the extent that a person allots, he is allotted. Otherwise, those who don't apply pressure don't feel the opposite.
I want to talk about a certain aspect of this. So that friend, he grows apart, and then, instead of the Creator helping him come back to get close again, instead of that, he distances him.
That's what you see on the friend.
I see it on a friend, I see it on myself.
There's a difference. If you see it on a friend...
To see it on a friend, it's the easiest thing.
If you see it on the friend, is the Creator playing with you, that you have to help him, that you have to kind of take him on your back and carry him. It's a completely different work. It's more important than what you have to do for yourself. If you see that your friend has failed, it's help from above, so that this way you can promote yourself, can advance yourself. If now you think of a friend instead of yourself, you'll advance several times faster.
In our tent, it happens a lot. There are many friends that, because of their basic needs, because of necessity, they can't stay for the last hour of the lesson. And you see that with time, that in time, it worsens. So my question is, in the 10, what can we do with such a state? Because seemingly, it's a disturbance. It's something that harms a person's basic needs. What can I say?
I wouldn't say anything. I would come to him with the whole group and tell him, now you have to be with us during all the lessons for a whole week, whatever happens. After a week, we'll see if this is possible or impossible to continue.
And this is an intervention which is allowed for us to make.
Look, we can see on ourselves that if previously you used to sleep 10 hours a day, then 8, then 7, then 6, and today you sleep 5. Well, less than 5 is a bit of a problem if you do this on a regular basis. But it's doable. There's no other way. You have to help him be through the whole lesson. And then in this way, he will see where he can be more efficient elsewhere. Queens.
Queens.
Вопрос от Антонио из Испании.
Antonio from Spain is asking, what's the difference between the external and internal interferences if there is none else besides him?
All the obstructions are from there is none else besides him. That's the root. Of course, everything is from the Creator. He's managing the whole process until he teaches us to be like him. But the disturbances, the external disturbances are toward us, and the internal disturbances are what we have to kind of measure assess. And well, the difference with these disturbances is that with the internal disturbances we have to cope, and then we'll see how the external disturbances disappear. On all the disturbances, we have to say there's none else besides Him, as He teaches us in the letter where He talks about there's none else besides letter number 16 of Bala Sulam, where He talks about there's none else besides Him, and if I'm not for me, who is for me? And accordingly, we need to cope with it. So, with the external disturbances, we have to cope with them externally, and with the internal disturbances, internally. Until the whole world goes into the work of the Creator, we too will have to be split up like the rest of the world. And even if we're great righteous, great Kabbalists, everyone will be in this world and suffering from the externality, even though internally, like all the righteous, that they were in the upper world and seemingly didn't belong to this world. But because we all belong to one soul, and there's one system, then because we all belong to one system, then they too suffered with the rest of the people. Moreover, as Bala Sulam writes, at the end of the introduction to the Zohar, the great ones and the holy ones suffer more. And it begins with them. If blows come, they come specifically to those who are in the internality of the Torah, more than to those who are in the externality of the Torah. What does it say about this? But it begins with
Yes, in the meantime, you can ask. Emil from Nuremberg is asking about the greatness of the Creator.
Yes.
What is the greatness of the Creator given to a person for? Is it in order for him to pass it on to his friends?
Well, only for this. The greatness of the Creator is everything we need. Because to the extent of my greatness of the Creator, I rise above my ego. The ego doesn't surrender only before someone who is greater. You know, if someone's greater, you know, like animals, you see, if someone's greater, stronger, that's it, surrender. I once saw a film where wild dogs, yeah, like wolves, whatever, dingy. Yeah, dingy. They grabbed this deer or whatever, something, and they started eating it. Yeah, 20 of them jump on this carcass. A lion comes, and they all run away. They look at how he eats the deer, and they can't approach. That's it. That's like, that's what our ego does. It surrenders before someone is stronger, and that's it. You understand this depiction? So, what is the greatness of the Creator? It's greatness. What else do I need? I need only to draw His greatness, and then my ego will stand like this. That's it. Like a tiny little rabbit, willing to work, to join, to belong to it, and to be dedicated to it. We are sold to greatness. All we need is to obtain the greatness. If I know my nature, how much my ego is willing to annul before the Great One and do everything He tells me, even without any pride or nothing. Nothing. It's just the law of nature. So all I need is the greatness of the Creator. No. Where is your self? Where is your independence? Where is your self-respect? There's nothing. Either great or small, period. That's clear to you, Gershon? That toward a great one, you? No choice. That's nature. There's no shame, there's no nothing here. It's the law of nature. Did you find it? Well, the blows begin specifically with the great ones.
The introduction to the book of Zohar, item 71, he says, and after we have witnessed everything that it tells us about in the corrections, and all the more that the judgments hit the best of us, as the sages said, that it all starts with the righteous.
That's enough. That's how it works. Go on, mister. Excerpt number 4. What is the cup of blessing should be full in the work. When one can work with his eyes shut above reason and believe in the wisdom of the sages and advance to the end. This is called Ibu, conception. And Ibu means the level of Malchut, which is the smallest possible katnut, restriction, and it's called Ibu, from the word anger and judgment. We should understand the meaning of anger and judgment. Since a person has to go with his eyes shut above reason, the body resists this work. Therefore, the fact that a person always has to overcome, this is called anger and rage and trouble. But since it is hard work to always overcome and annul before the Upper One, so the Upper One will do with him whatever the Upper One wants. And this is called Ibu, conception, or impregnation, which is the smallest possible katnut, smallness.
Internally, I'm perplexed. We just said that a small desire is annulled before a great desire, that a big fish swallows a little fish. And there are many verses about this, and we understand that a great force controls a smaller force. Can annul it or not annul it, take it or maybe not take it into consideration, or it has to take it into consideration, but it's in control. And here he says that it is not exactly so. So, a person has to always overcome, and that's called rage and trouble and so on, because it's always hard work to resist and annul yourself before the upper. So what state is he talking about? To resist annulling oneself before the upper. What situation? What? But not situation, maybe state, or yes, situation. In what situation am I in a state where I have to overcome myself in order to be included in the upper, even though that the upper is greater? How is it possible that the upper is the upper is greater, and still I'm not naturally drawn to annul myself in it, but I have to perform work on myself. I have to do some work on myself in order to annul myself before it, against my nature. Is it clear? Let's correctly stabilize the situation. The upper is the upper. I'm the lower one. He becomes revealed as the great, almighty, ruling, and I, nonetheless, cannot annul myself towards the upper naturally. I have to perform great work on myself in order to cancel my ego, and only then can I annul myself before the upper. You understand the state? It happens in every family where you have children, that a child is crying, demanding, and he does not yield. towards the upper. So what does the upper, what is the upper, what is he missing with respect to the upper in order to be able to annul himself? The revelation of the greatness of the upper, seeing the path, seeing the right way. Well, if we're talking about a child, but in this case we're talking about ourselves. So, please.
What he's lacking is the filling he expects from the upper one.
He'll get the filling on condition that he'll be connected.
But at that moment he doesn't feel it. He just wants the filling.
Everyone wants that. You're right. If it's in return, then the upper says, okay, yield, and for this I'll pay you this and that. The lower does the math, and probably here it's something else.
Now, at this point, the whole way is hidden from him, that the suffering makes him forget everything.
That's true. Therefore, he doesn't want to surrender. Read number 4 again.
Again, excerpt number 4 from the writings of Rabash, volume 2. When a person can walk with his eyes shut, above reason, and believe in the sages, and go all the way, this is called ibu, impregnation. Ibu means the level of malchut, which is the smallest possible katnut, smallness. This is called ibu, from the words evra and dinin, anger and judgment. We should understand the meaning of evra and dinin, anger and judgment. It turns out that a person has to go with his eyes shut, above reason. When a person has to do this, the body resists this work. Therefore, the fact that a person always has to overcome, this is called anger and rage and trouble, since it is hard work to always overcome and annul before the upper one, so the upper one will do with him what the upper one wants. And this is called ibu, impregnation, which is the smallest possible katnut.
What's the problem with the ibu? Why can't we now go into the ibu of the upper? Obviously that now we're in the achap of the upper, and the achap of the upper is not becoming revealed and is not giving us the clear conditions according to which we can enter the ibu, right? In order to formate the upper, we build a group. And we start acting out towards the group as towards the upper. I annul myself towards the upper. I say that he is special and unique. I awaken the others that are with me in the 10 for all of us to annul ourselves towards the upper. Who's the upper? The concept of the group. It's not the 10 people, but the concept of the group that are already connected. So, when we say a group, what do we mean? The group is truly the upper. We have to build the image of the upper. We're asking for this image, for the achap of the upper, in which we truly exist in, to build it for us. What's going on here? What does it mean that we have to rise in faith above reason? To spirituality, to the degree of bestowal, to the hidden, concealed level. Questions, if you don't have answers. Neither. Okay. So, we leave number 4 with a question mark, and with God's help, we'll get back to it tomorrow. Number 5.
Excerpt number 5 from letter number 31 by Bala Sulam. We should learn this trade before we enter the king's palace, meaning muster power and might to stand as a pillar of iron until we elicit the desire from the Creator. As it is written, take no rest. Although the Creator seems silent and unresponsive, let it not cross your mind to be silent too. Take no rest. This is not what the Creator aimed for with his silence, but rather to give you power to stand afterward in the king's palace when you have no blemish. This is why, and give him no rest. Again, we should learn this trait before we enter the king's palace, meaning muster power and might to stand as a pillar of iron until we elicit the desire from the Creator. As it is written, take no rest. Although the Creator seems silent and unresponsive, let it not cross your mind to be silent too. Take no rest. This is not what the Creator aimed for with his silence, but rather to give you power to stand afterwards in the king's palace when you have no blemish. This is why, and give him no rest.
Questions. I see that you are drained, and that's good. We've been at it for 2.5 hours, so it's good.
What does it mean that although the Creator seems to be silent and unresponsive, let it not cross your mind to be silent too?
Right, this is our state. If, suppose, I've been doing this work, serving the Creator for 5 years, doing everything that I can according to what the Kabbalists say, that you should live and not die in it. And I see no other reason. I don't know what's going on. Why? I'm not getting an answer. I'm getting no response. So maybe the Creator, A, doesn't exist. There's no Creator. He's not there. In the past, the entire nation was an attainment of the Creator. The Creator was revealed to them. It was called the generation Dodea. And then there was the shattering. As a result, the Creator left their minds and hearts. That's called the exile. We're living in exile for the past 2,000 years. It's a spiritual exile. Corporeal exile goes without saying, but we're talking about the spiritual exile, that there are only the few unique individuals in each and every generation. The others, they're not an attainment of the Creator. So unless the Creator appears before me in my own senses, then is he present or isn't he? He's not there. He doesn't exist only in my senses, or he doesn't exist at all. From what I see, he doesn't exist at all. Where does he exist? Towards whom? And then we leave the work of the Creator altogether. So there's nothing to attain, there's nothing to do, so either we learn what it says in the Torah, that these are the mitzvot and this is how you have to perform them, or we don't do anything. That's it. Because the Creator does not appear. And therefore, it seems to me that he's not taking any action. He is not taking any action towards me. So, it puts me to sleep. It stops me.
It
it puts me to rest. It makes me still. Makes me still. And so this is what he says. That don't think that the Creator is motionless, that he's not doing anything, and therefore you can allow yourself not to do anything, but that he is not appearing in you. This is his action, really. This is what he's doing.
But I didn't understand what I have to do now, because he is gone. It's like he's silent, and here he says, we shouldn't be silent like he is. So what am I, how am I supposed not to be silent toward the Creator? What am I supposed to do in this situation?
You are supposed to do as it says. All that you can do, you have to do. You're given books, advice, work plan, a group. You're given everything in order for you to act. And that the Creator isn't present in your intentions, in your vessels, it's because he can't appear there. But the fact that you're changing each and every moment, and that life around you seems to change all the time, this is the work that he is creating for you, these different external states, in order for you to perform this work all the time. Because everything that you see on the outside and everything that you feel on the inside, it's all the manifestation of the Creator towards you. Clear?
So, why doesn't he appear?
His goal is for you to disclose the deficiency, the right kind of deficiency, in order to discover him.
Why is this the most effective for the process?
That he gives you the different possibilities and options and leads you to different deficiencies and to the group and so on. This is what he can do in the meantime. In the meantime, meaning in accordance with your qualities, and he cannot disclose himself any further, even though that he is suffering. That's called the suffering of the exile of the Shekhinah, that the Shekhinah suffers since it is in exile, because it wants to disclose itself but can't, because it's waiting for the right kelim to become revealed, that it can't build itself. It can't give you the attainment of the Creator. You have to build it by your own efforts, because in order for you to attain it to the very depth that he wants to give it to you.
You said before that after 5 or 7 years he's still not present.
And so what? I'm not setting conditions. He created me such in order for me to be able to attain him, each from his point in the heart. So there are those that attain him maybe after a few months, after a few years, and those that attain him after a few incarnations. And if I am working on attaining the quality of bestowal, then I have to understand that even if I'm told I don't know what, still, I keep at it, I keep doing the work, just like I'm doing it today, the same vigor, the same direction.
So what's my compass?
My compass is to want to discover the Creator above reason in order to give him contentment. Meaning, that ideally speaking, he enjoys being discovered. I'm willing to discover him only if it's not for my own benefit. So you're asking, what's the benefit? The benefit is that I want to pleasure. I want to please him. So what do? I do everything that I can in order for him to reveal himself to the friends. And for myself, nothing. I don't want to get anything in return. I don't want any reward. I want for my work to be in order to bestow.
Although it's totally against everything I am.
against what I am, true, it's opposed to my nature, and this is why I respect it, because probably that is the truth. You understand where...
Joseph from San Francisco shoel.
Do you understand where you are?
Joseph from San Francisco is asking, how do you come to a state where you don't doubt the truthfulness of your work and you don't look back and see what you've wasted in 40 years of work?
Only to connect to the group, to the teacher, to the books, and really, as a result of all of this, the upper light will give a new kelim, and then he'll be able to transcend his corporeal different calculations, and the moment that he does that, the revelation begins. At the end of this lesson, I would like to invite all of our friends from all over Europe, from Asia, from the Far East, to the Kyiv Congress, for us to meet there and to have for all of us together to have a really good time, have some good lessons, and that everyone that can make it will make it, and the rest will be connected with us virtually. You have announcements? This is the time.
Yes, well, we conclude here. We thank our viewers. Daily task.
The daily task, where is it? Queens, they're not putting up the question mark sign. Okay, get up, give each other a hug, say something.
Thank you all for the attention. We have a storm approaching here, so think about us. It means weather. Bad weather. Every 10 stays for 5 minutes after the lesson and discusses how, through faith above reason, to get to the greatness of the Creator. And during the day, we will write down how many times we managed to get to the greatness of the Creator.
Good. If you have stormy weather, then you can gather where you are right now and study together, and it's really nice. You have the Creator is giving you excellent conditions for it. My son says that for 2-3 days you can't leave home.
This concludes the lesson. We thank our viewers on the television and have a good day. And now, a report on the intro nights, Uri Shabtai. Okay, well, now, tonight we'll have a short meeting where we bring up ideas and do simulations about the most important thing, which is bringing friends. Who is this for? It'll be at 7 p.m., which is the time where the point in the heart is here, but it's intended for everyone. Why? Because we all think we all invited everyone, and yet there are other ideas, other ways, other things we can still do to bring friends, suddenly things we didn't think about. You have to understand that the percentage of a friend bringing a friend is very high in these intro nights. So it's very important. So let's all meet tonight, build this process together, and just grab ideas and just do this together. Something like 15-20 minutes, but very important. And it'll be broadcast on Svivatova. You don't have to come physically. No, don't come physically. No, do come. Well, we'll do it on Svivatova. So there'll be people here, the friends from the Point in the Heart, and we'll do it all together. Chaim friends.
All of us as one, the World Kabbalah Congress in Kyiv, the Ukraine, all as one from the 24th. to the 26th of March. Everyone's invited for further details. Sviva Tova. And also all the friends that want to send any suggestions, you can find the address on Sviva Tova. And welcome to the world of Kabbalah. The Kabbalah Lam College is happy to invite you to an introductory lecture. The lessons will take place between the 16th and 23rd of March all over Israel. Admission is free. For further details, contact us. And let's sing!
רוצים להרגיש את המקום שנמצא בינינו, מקום של חום וביטחון מאיר לעולמנו, מעל תנועה, מעל מקום, מעל כל הזמנים, מקום שבו כבר לא צריך מילים. בוא ניצח לחבר